The AI Today podcast, produced by Cognilytica, cuts through the hype and noise to identify what is really happening now in the world of artificial intelligence. Learn about emerging AI trends, technologies, and use cases from Cognilytica analysts and guest experts.
Hello, and welcome to the AI Today podcast. I'm your host, Kathleen Mulch.
And I'm your host, Ron Schmelzer. And we've been having some great conversations as part of our AI Today podcast activation at the South by Southwest 2024 conference, which has been going on, oh boy, for the last week or so, and goes on for another week. For those of you who may still be there, if you're listening to this recorded, then this was after the fact. You should probably come back in 2025. But one of the great things about our podcast is we're going to let you in on these fantastic conversations we've been having. As you can imagine, the conference, South by Southwest, well, it's film, it's media, and it's also film, music, and it's interactive. But honestly, the AI conversations are happening everywhere because AI is like the transformative technology of the moment, and it's part of every conversation. And I think as part of that, you know, that's why AI Today is there, because it's like, well, it's every conversation that we're having across every single industry. So we've recorded about six of these interviews that are all different folks, some in medicine, some in technology, some in different areas. So you can hear about how AI is impacting these cycles. And we also interview some great thought leaders from within Intel. And the reason why I mentioned that is this AI Today podcast series is sponsored by Intel, and they have a lot to say about where AI is and where AI is heading, but you'll hear more about that in a little bit.
Exactly. So for today's podcast, we're excited to have with us Wei Li, who's the VP and GM of the AI software engineering team at Intel. So welcome, and thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you, Ron and Catherine. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to the discussion today. We'd like to start by having you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them a little bit about your background and your current role now at Intel.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, my current role is a VP and GM of AI software engineering. And in that role, I was very lucky to work with a group of AI, what I call AI magicians over here. You don't get a chance to see my background with four magicians over there. And what's exciting here is we get a chance to understand customer problems, and then we build products based on the cutting edge technologies. So that's been very exciting. And as all of you know, AI is moving very quickly. So it's good to be riding the wave here. Now, a little bit about my background. I'm a computer scientist by training, and my graduate work was on supercomputers, was software for on supercomputers. And I was lucky in my career, I have always been at the cutting edge of the technology. So when I joined Intel, it was the internet days. You know, everybody is doing web servers, and the cloud is coming up. And so Intel was transforming the company from a PC only company to more of a data center cloud company. So I had an opportunity to help Intel move in that transformation. And then I also got involved in on the mobile side when Intel was trying to get to the mobile side. You know, with all that phone, laptop, and tablets, and so I was doing software for that as well. Now, particularly in the last 8 years or so, I was really fortunate to be able to work on AI, and that's, you know, probably the biggest wave human history we can see from the human history side. It's just amazing how fast we've been moving in the last decades, and actually particularly in the last 2 years, and things have just changed so much. And I was just so lucky to be part of it.
Yeah, a lot is changing. And changing faster. And if it seems like it's changing faster, we tell people that's because in some ways it is. Compounding on top of each other, and just the nature of communication, things spread so fast. And well, technology now is so easy to build on things that things, well, people get inspired by others. It's just the way it is with the technology.
It is. I mean, it's like I used to be a researcher myself. Right? I mean, it used to take a long time to go from research papers to production. And today, you know, a research project that came up 6 months ago, and today all of a sudden, every customer is asking for that particular thing, right? So it's really amazing.
Yeah. Well, so on that note, let's actually talk a little about this, because one of the things that you shared at your talk at South by Southwest was insights into this idea of AI everywhere with software and hardware. It's a lot of where in there. So maybe you can tell us a little about those insights into AI is maybe in your underwear too. Who knows? But it's everywhere. That is for sure. So maybe you can get into kind of what we mean by all this.
Oh, it is. I mean, I'm a true believer that we are at the inflection point where AI will be everywhere. And that actually was very much reinforced when I was in at South by Southwest, because I got a chance to meet with a lot of people. And, you know, there's so much interest in applying AI in everything they do over there. So usually many people already have data. So when you go from data to insights to AI solutions, today it's still not quite straightforward, right? Because I've met with a company, they say, I have a lot of data, but I have no idea how to get started, right? So how do you help people to go from data to AI? That's where we can contribute. Intel as a company, as well as the industry, we can contribute here. Now, a key part of this, I would say there are three major pieces here. One piece is model. And we have a lot of advances in the machine learning models, and particularly large language models. And then the other two pieces are more foundational in nature. One is the software side, and the other is the hardware side. So in my talk, I actually covered all three of these.
Yeah, that's great. You know, we talk a lot about data too, and you said, you know, how do you go from data to AI? I really liked that. And we talk a lot about this DIKUW pyramid as well, where data is the base and then you start to move your way up. So yes, you can have data, but just having data, you have to do something with that data, right? And, you know, a lot of people, they collect data and they want to store it. And you know, a lot of people also say, well, more data, the better. But what exactly do you do with that data? You need to get information, right? And how do you extract that information? And then how do you move even one level up to that knowledge layer so that you can actually then do something with it? And that's really where machine learning is right now. And then we have reasoning and wisdom. We're not quite at the reasoning stage yet, but we're trying. And then wisdom is, you know, full human insights. So I like that you bring that up.
Yeah. So we you know, we've been doing a lot on particularly, let's say, on the model side, and once you have data, you need a reasonable model for you to learn from the data you have here. And we've been pretty lucky to work with quite a few partners on the model side. So, for example, one particular example I'll give you here is you know, been working with the Argonne National Lab, and you know, Intel is working with them to build a supercomputer, and so over there we've been building a 1 trillion parameter model for science, right? Because the scientists want to get a better insight and help them doing research over there. So it's a 1 trillion parameter model that's going to be pretty much at the cutting edge of the current large language models. But on the other hand, you know, we've been fine-tuning as a vehicle of open source models as well. So you probably know one of the hot startups is building all these smaller models. For example, they have a 7 billion parameter model. So we actually fine-tune a 7 billion parameter model, and that fine-tuning give us the best quality of the model, and that made up end up as the number one spot at the Hugging Face leaderboard for 7 billion models, right? So we're seeing a variety of different models people can use, you know, to leverage the data they have.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and one thing that we always love to hear is, you know, how you can learn from others, because some industries or, you know, certain applications go, well, this is so specific. And we're like, well, take one broader step and, you know, you can learn a lot from others. So where are you seeing the most successful application of AI projects at Intel and your customers? And maybe can you share some of that?
Yeah, so we've been working with quite a few partners. So one example I can give is diffusion models, right? People, you know, you have seen people taking a text and then generate images from this, and they can take go from text to video from this, right? And one of the leaders in that space is Stability.ai, and we actually work with them quite closely. So most recently, they've been using one of the AI hardware products we have, so called Gaudi. So we have we have three types of hardware within Intel. So one is the special accelerator called Gaudi. It's designed for AI specifically, and then we also have the CPU. For example, Xeon, which actually also has a special AI acceleration inside. And then we also have AI PC, you know, talking about client, I mentioned client mobile before, right? On the AI PC side, we also have added special acceleration for this. So in all these cases, we've been looking at special partners we work with to get developed solutions on top of this. So Stability AI is on the Gaudi cluster. So they measure their performance on the cluster. They are getting very good performance out of Gaudi cluster here. And the key for AI, as you know, is speed, right? You have a lot of data. You need to get all these fast acceleration going on here. So that example is text to image, text to video. Now, the other example I can give you is probably more day-to-day kind of thing, right? So I don't know how many of you like burgers. You may want to go order burgers. You probably end up doing drive-through ordering burgers, right? And quite often, you know, you have to talk to somebody, sit within the line, talk to somebody. Now, one of the partners we've been working with called Iterate.ai, they actually are creating a platform for people to easily create develop solutions for this. So one of the applications they have worked there with their customer to develop is ordering burgers. So you can have a conversational AI as if you're talking to a real person, you know, when you order a burger over there, right? And so that particular application is actually running on Intel Xeon, which is a CPU server. So it's a CPU server with AI acceleration is more than sufficient to run applications like this. So that's another use case. You know, we find I personally find very interesting. Now I don't eat burger that much nowadays, but it is a good example over there. Now the last one I want to mention here is you know, I mentioned the laptop before, right? So Intel also has added additional acceleration called NPU, you know, inside the laptop itself as well. Now, as we speak, we're actually I'm talking to you through a collaboration software, right? And you know, quite often we have virtual backgrounds and all these things, and you know, you can use AI to make our virtual background much better. So that's what they did is creating a collaboration software. Actually, in this particular case, working with Microsoft, as you know, Microsoft is very, very strong in creating these collaboration software. In particular case, like Teams, right? So you can actually use AI to help create a better collaboration software over there. So these are just a few simple examples of people can do with AI here. Now, as I mentioned at the SOW South by Southwest, it was just a lot of just wherever your imagination is your limit in terms of where you can apply AI to various different cases here.
Yeah, I'm glad you actually bring that up, because one of the things that Intel has as part of its, you know, branding, if I will, and part of here, even the sponsorship of this podcast episode in general, I think is got a really interesting vision. And I think I want to share that with our audience. You know, this is actually part of what has motivated us to be working with you. As I mentioned, you know, this podcast is sponsored by Intel, but I think part of it is that innovations, as you guys put it, as Intel puts it, it's the spark for dreamers who do. And Intel dreams of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new and to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel, and you can learn more at intel.com/starts. And part of the reason why I share this is that it is a fairly all-encompassing vision. It encompasses, we talked about education, we talked about healthcare, we talked about finance, transportation, media. And I mean, I can't even think of an industry that it doesn't impact. We were talking to some folks in oil and gas at one of our activations, and it's impacting there. They have like these little bots that go around and scan the atmosphere for, I think it's methane leaks or something that they're doing with these bots.
Yeah.
And they used to do that with people in pickup trucks driving around to these very remote fields in some cases to do that. So it's really very interesting, this broad impact of that. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but like, you know, this is, I mean, how do you even put your arms around all of these different industries and all their various, you know, different diverse needs and sort of figure out how to address those diverse needs with the range and scope of the things that you are working on there?
Yeah, so that's a great question, right? So that's where I think, you know, we want to go AI everywhere, and Intel really is uniquely positioned to do this because we are not a small company here, right? We actually have a pretty large scale here. So when we look at the large scale, I already mentioned the hardware portfolio. We have a variety of hardware products we can, you know, and a lot of these hardware products are actually present in the market today already. I mean, it's people already have the laptops, you know, based on Intel. People already have the servers based on Intel, right? So we already over there. Now, the other key thing in order to get to AI everywhere is actually software, because, you know, you talk about the diverse set of applications people want to do here, and even Intel as a big company, we cannot do it alone. So we are very a big believer of open source. Open source ecosystem, and particularly on the software side, it is luckily on AI, it's very much open source, right? So we, you know, the models I talked to you about, a lot of open source models are already over there. Like Meta has, you know, Llama 2, and Mistral, the startup I mentioned earlier, Mistral has open source models over there, and then we've been working with partners like Hugging Face, and they are, you know, they are the place to go to for a lot of these open source models there. And Intel, particularly my team as a software team, we've been heavily engaged with the open source software ecosystem. We are one of the main contributors to the open source ecosystem. We want to actually contribute and also help shape the AI software ecosystem over there. So one example I can give you is PyTorch. As you probably know, for those who follow AI, you cannot escape from PyTorch, right? Because pretty much every large language model is a PyTorch model, right? And so we have been, Intel is a top three contributor to PyTorch. You know, we added code, we do a lot of these PRs and all that, right? And also PyTorch today is a true community project. It's under Linux Foundation. We have a PyTorch Foundation, and I happen to be sitting on the governing board for PyTorch Foundation. So I got a chance to see how we can shape the next phase of PyTorch. And so these are the things we are doing in order to go to support a broad set of customers. And then on top of this, we are working with a lot of ISVs. You know, these are the ISVs who will actually develop specific applications for a variety of industries, right? So you may have healthcare ISV, you may have, you already mentioned oil, gas, and, you know, all these industries, they will have different kinds of applications and with AI inside. So our goal is to be able to support the all these applications as well.
Yeah, that's really key. I'm glad to talk about open source. It's actually really been a big part of our conversation, especially in the past year, but mostly in the past few months. We've been highlighting some things that have been coming out from some other organizations that may even use the word open in their company name, where Swift is not really that open. And I think people do need to be aware of the fact that these walled gardens, if you will, of proprietary stuff may actually be even more dangerous than the previous open walls, especially when we're starting to base systems on top of these foundation models. We may not have choice whether or not, maybe before we might have been able to say, well, I will decide to use this product or that product or this hardware application, that hardware application. You may not have that choice. And I think this is a potentially tricky situation. So we are big believers in open source. We're going to spend a lot more time talking about open source and really encouraging people to participate, obviously make use of open source models, but contribute, participate, be part of the conversation. I think we realized, you know, over the past, you know, couple decades, the power of open source. You mentioned PyTorch, the whole basis of the AI research community, even before it made its way into sort of commercial application, made, you know, without things like PyTorch, if they were closed, I don't want to say anything about our friends at Mathematica or SEA, you know, things like that, but, you know, you can get all open notebooks really have, you know, really the core of sharing this research and it growing on. So we're really big believers in that as well. And we will be spending a lot more time on
looks like I touched a hot button of yours here. And I'm so glad to see you're as passionate as many of us here about open source here. Yeah, it is. I think, you know, even from the entire humanity perspective, open source is pretty critical. Actually, it's more important from the general AI, in the general AI era, for open source, right? So that's why we've been working with a variety of projects. I mean, you mentioned PyTorch is a good example, more from the development side of it, and then the other is, you know, in terms of responsible AI safety. So we actually been working with another organization called ML Commons, and they were created initially for benchmarking purpose, performance benchmarking purposes. For example, things like ML Perf to measure the you can compare performance across different hardware vendors and all that. So that was the original intent, but today, people all recognize AI safety is a important topic. So we've been working with ML Commons, working with Google, working with Stanford, you know, to create AI safety working group, and they really try to address some of these issues sort of more unique to the Gen AI space.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and you've been able to share a lot of great examples, and Intel does have a very, rich history of working with, at the forefront of all of these emerging technologies, as you had shared. So our listeners are on all different aspects and, you know, levels of their AI journey. So what advice and lessons learned and maybe potential gotchas could you share with our listeners as they're running their own data analytics and AI projects? Maybe, you know, lessons learned along the way that you can share so they don't make the same mistake.
No, it's good. It's good. So when I was giving a talk actually at the South by Southwest, and before I did the talk, I asked the audience, I said, well, how many of you have deployed AI applications, AI solutions today? And then the second question is, how many of you are in the POC stage, proof of concept space stage, and how many of you are in the early stage, just thinking about it, but come to learn, you know, what AI is, right? So I got to see a very diverse set of people, even in the big room for people I had in my presentation, right? So I can imagine your audience probably, you know, you're all in the different stages as well, right? So it really, I guess it depends on what you want to do here. I think the first thing is you need to define a focus, which is what is the AI problem you're trying to solve here, and then the different problems you're trying to solve with AI may require different kinds of solutions here, and the solution, you know, there are all kinds of different models here and all that, and also depending on whether you choose to buy or build, right? That's another decision you have to make, because there are more and more people providing services, and some of these services you can probably just use it automatically. I mean, it's like we have one example is you can do Copilot. If you want to do development, and you probably already have a pretty good service available, and then the other, if you want to build it, and then you need to decide what you want to build over there and what kind of platform you want to build and all that. And one example I want to give here, so this is a variety. I mean, we're building some of these things ourselves, even within my team. And we've been building a chatbot, for example, for a particular site, because I have multiple sites across around the world. So in one of these sites, they want to build a chatbot to have a conversation about that particular site. And so we went through that to build a application over there. And then the other one, we've been in the middle of it, is building a AI tool to help you for validation. So you were on your engineering team. Can you speed? Can you make it more productive? Because a lot of the work is actually pretty boring when you go testing, doing triaging and debugging all these things, right? So I think it's easy, it's good for us to be able to use AI to help improve the productivity of the engineering side. And I would say even for the business side, you know, I go to a lot of meetings. Many of these meetings are boring meetings also, right? So if I can figure out a way to help me it become more productive, you know, there are a lot of things you can do here, right? So I think one culture, maybe the current thing learning we have here is sometimes when people hear in the news, let's say, oh, there's a big thing going on and the model is, you know, huge. You'll take thousands of machines to do that stuff. But quite often, you actually don't have to. So really, it comes back to the problem you're trying to solve here. So the problem you're trying to solve may be narrow enough where a small model is actually good for you, not only from the efficiency perspective, but also from cost perspective. Many of these models, the examples I give, right? We only use a 7 billion parameter model, right? Nowadays, it is considered small. It is actually not that small, right? It used to be, we're looking at, you know, billions of parameters. Now you have 7 billion, but relative to a trillion parameter model, it is quite small, right? So you can use such a model to develop your applications already. And then it will also have other underlying technologies. I won't go into details here, but there's something called RAG, R-A-G. So with certain technologies, you can actually have your private data, your enterprise private data inside RAG, which is more of a database. It's a knowledge base, right? So you can put it in a knowledge base coupled with a small large language model, like 7 billion large language model, that can give you a very effective solution for the problem you're trying to solve here, right? So your problem you're trying to solve is not necessarily a single chatbot who is a genius who knows everything, right? You don't need to do that, right? So like in the burger ordering case, if all you want to do is create a conversational bot to help people ordering burgers, and that's a much narrower example, and you can actually easily do it in a more efficient way. So really, it is all case by case basis, and depend on different stages you are at, and depending on the problem you're trying to solve, you can actually do it more efficiently and effectively.
Yeah, I loved that we could dig into each of the things that you said as a whole podcast. But you're right. And we did have a podcast on RAG. So I have a link to that in the show notes for any of our listeners that didn't get a chance to listen to that and want to learn more. But also you talked about business understanding. And we are big advocates of doing AI right, following best practices, methodologies. Our listeners know that we are advocates of CPM AI, the Cognitive Project Management for AI methodology. And phase one is business understanding. What problem are you trying to solve? We actually had some recent podcasts as well on scoping and thinking big, starting small, and iterate often. So like you said, you know, you want to you get your idea, but then start small. So for that burger example, you're right. That chatbot does not need to be able to answer general questions like what's the weather? How do I get to the store? They're already there, right? Just needs the information on the menu. And that is a really great example of thinking, you know, think big, but starting small. And we say, don't try and boil the ocean. Don't take on more than you need to. So really enjoyed that. And for our listeners, if you're interested, we have a free intro to CPM AI course that's just for you, our AI Today listeners. You can go to aitoday.live/CPMAI, and I'll link to that in the show notes as well. This has been such an amazing conversation. We've really enjoyed it. And we like to ask all of our guests the same final question, because you're able to bring in your own unique experiences and your insights. And some people get very philosophical in their answers. Some get practical. Some get personal with things they'd like to see. So as a final note, what do you believe the future of AI is in general and its application to organizations and beyond?
Yeah, so let me, I could easily. So I think what's interesting is the more I work on AI, the more I feel like I need to become a philosopher here, because at the end, and I'm a computer science by training, so it's a long way from me to go from a computer scientist to a philosopher here, but AI is sort of dragging me there, right? So I do believe AI is going to be everywhere, and it will change our lives, and so that's the personal side of it. And then the other is on the enterprise side, and with many of us running our businesses or part of enterprises and so on, and there's a lot of efficiency and productivity to be gained over there. As mentioned, I've cut quite a few things already, and I'll just hope as an industry we will get there. So let me just stop it here before I become a philosopher here.
That's funny. Well, PhDs are doctorates in philosophy. So
That's true. When I got a PhD, I thought it was an engineering thing, but it actually is supposed to be doctor of philosophy. Yeah,
interesting. Because you're thinking of things at a much sort of more fundamental level, perhaps. Maybe that's where it comes from. But that's actually, you're right. Every conversations on AI ends up getting here. Part of the reason why I was laughing so much about this idea of the McDonald's, or I shouldn't say McDonald's, but like the burger ordering chatbot, right? This is the first thing that comes to mind, isn't it? Is that, it is true. Like, we have a chatbot on our website, and at some point people started thinking that it was basically connected to an LLM and they can ask any general question. I don't know why they thought that, because actually it turns out there is a human behind it. This is like just a human customer service. But they start asking questions. And I'm just laughing here because I can imagine at some point when kids get familiar with asking bots, you go to like some check-in line, drive-through line, and the bot says, "What would you like to order?" And they start asking it math questions because, hey, you got a math test coming up and it's a general thought. So like, why not? Right. You're like, oh, hey, before I order, what's the answer to this? And what's the answer to this? And like, oh yeah. And also, can I please order a hamburger? And this is also why we've had a number of podcasts of people getting into trouble because they're doing sort of the easy thing, which is putting a large language machine or a large language model or a chatbot into a website and not realizing that it actually could open them up to many problems. As Air Canada, we talked about this, had this issue they got because the chatbot came up with answers that differed from their own website. And I think this is people not realizing that, they can get themselves into trouble. But this is where the philosophy comes into the right tool for the right job and thinking about the limits of the power of technology and all that sort of stuff. We'll have to have you back because that's the only way we can discuss these things. But on that note, I really want to thank you so much for sharing all of these insights with our AI Today audience and all the great things you guys are working on at Intel.
Well, thank you, Ron and Catherine. I certainly enjoyed it. And, we could go on, spend hours on talking about this, but I'm sure your audience needs a break. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. This has been such a wonderful discussion. And if you haven't done so already, please make sure to subscribe to AI Today. We have a number of great podcasts lined up, including some additional interviews. So stay subscribed so you get notified of all of that. Also, if you enjoyed listening to us, make sure to rate us on Apple Podcast, Google, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. We'll also link to some of those additional podcasts that we had talked about in the show notes so that you can go there and just click on it for easy listening. And also reach out to us. Many of you regularly do, and we love to hear from you. So to let us know what you've liked about this episode or other episodes, maybe additional topics that you'd like us to address and speak to. We really do value your feedback and insights. Like this episode and want to hear more? With hundreds of episodes and over 3 million downloads, check out more AI Today podcasts at aitoday.live. Make sure to subscribe to AI Today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, or your favorite podcast platform. Want to dive deeper and get resources to drive your AI efforts further? We've put together a carefully curated collection of resources and tools handcrafted for you, our listeners, to expand your knowledge, dive deeper into the world of AI, and provide you with the essential resources you need. Check it out at aitoday.live/list. This sound recording and its contents are copyright by Cognilytica. All rights reserved. Music by Matsu Gravas. As always, thanks for listening to AI Today, and we'll catch you at the next podcast.